It's all the Sunday school classes, you know. So it's that kind of responsibility as a spiritual head of the household. It doesn't mean that we don't maybe kind of give something over because maybe our spouse is better at something. Maybe reading. But then we sit down as a family and we talk about it. Or whatever it might be. You know, kind of thing. And being able to do that and understand that and hopefully understand that the bottom line is for children to honor and to obey the parents in the Lord. And parents are to train and instruct in the Lord and be the center of our relationships regarding training, instructing, teaching, and learning. It's not just the responsibility of the church. They'll go to Sunday school and that's all they need. It needs to be happening. They need to see it just in our daily lives. As we walk, as we sit, as we lie down, as we get up, on the door frames of our house. You know, I always wanted, I never did it. Who knows if it'll... But I always wanted the plaque over our door as you kind of go out the front door kind of thing, no matter what house or place or whatever, you know, we've owned, kind of the Philippians 2:5, have the same attitude as Jesus. Just kind of as that reminder, as you go out, probably need it on both sides. You know, kind of thing. And just being able to do that, be able to have that. So we understand that obedience is not an option. We understand that obedience is not easy. It's not. It's totally against our nature. It coincides to not do that with our sin nature. So much easier to not obey. And yet God says it's not an option. Obedience is for everyone. You know, nobody's really exempt. It's not like, whoo, good, all right. You know, the passage was this or that. But he goes on, verse 5 to verse 9. He says, slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Verse 7, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they are slaves or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. So obedience is for everyone. It's not just a family thing. It's also outside of the family. Not just for us as Christians. And as we see that, as the relationship and slavery, a part of that culture, apparently my understanding about talking about Christian masters, especially slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and sincerity of heart as one obedient to Christ, serving Christ. So again, we have that overall look at what's the reading out of reverence to God. Why do I have a good earthly ethic? And anybody in our lives, I got to do this, I'm going to get fired, that's the only motivation. That's not horrible. But it's definitely not necessarily a spiritual one, is it? Because Colossians reminds us to work as unto the Lord. To serve in this capacity, as he says, obey your earthly masters with sincerity of heart, out of obedience to Christ, and As an attitude of serving Christ. So it goes beyond the law. Probably for us today, it's better to apply it in terms of masters and slaves, employers and employees. Kind of idea, like, oh, you know, and I'm sure we've all been in jobs where, like, oh, these are the dumbest people I've ever worked for, you know?
Maybe so.
Maybe so. I don't know.
You know?
But that does not exempt me in any kind of work environment.
I'll tell you,
when I had resigned from the free church in Lincoln,
I just knew
God was heading us in a different direction. He just hadn't really made it clear yet.
And that severance
package was coming to an end.
Married,
three kids. Like, whoa, I better probably start doing something. And here I was with a good resume, college degree, Master of Divinity. And I was very thankful because a member of our church owned a gas station. So there I am, thinking I better start doing something before this severance package ends. If I'm pumping gas and I'm driving a wrecker at wintertime. Now, it kind of stinks no matter what time of year, in my estimation, when you're not really geared that way. You know? And yet doing it and working as unto the Lord. I never even thought for a minute when somebody from the church that was happy to see me go, thinking about filling their car up with gas and lighting a cigarette. I never thought that thought. It never entered my mind. Oh, wait. Okay. No. But be working as unto the Lord, even if it's something you go, wow, never saw this one quite coming. Pumping gas and driving a wrecker. And I was thankful. And I was thankful to the people that they were willing to hire me. They knew I wasn't going to be there that long. And then we went into the Navy. And now we're here. That's a very long story told very, very short. But again, as we think of how we work, and it's not, as verse 6 says, it's not only to win favor as slaves, as employees in the service that we do, but it's our service unto Christ. Any service that you do here in the church, do we do it for recognition? Or do we truly do it out of service for Christ? You know? It's not just to win favor with the boss or somebody or the pastor or whatever, but it's out of service of and to Christ, doing the will of God from one's heart. See, it just keeps going back to service and to the heart. And the key in verses 7 and 8, as he told us, he said this, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people. Wow. Because you know that the Lord will reward each one of you whatever the good they do, whether they are slave or free. So the heart of the matter in all things is to serve wholeheartedly as if we're serving the Lord. What a difference. In all that we do, be it in a work environment, our family environment. I mean, for Mother's Day, we ask the question, Mom, how many just love to do dishes? And if you do, there's, a special support group for you. No. I mean, nobody really likes to do dishes. But hopefully an act of service, no matter who does it, you know, whatever it is. You know, our sports and things that we do. Are they out of service? Is it unto Christ? Serving wholeheartedly as if serving the Lord. Again, and I have to apologize to the Thompsons. I gave them our copy of Eric Little's Chariots of Fire, and it quit on them. They didn't get to see the end. I feel really bad. You know, but it's that concept that all that we do ought to be unto the Lord, serving wholeheartedly, not people. Because we know that ultimately, and you know what? May not even be on this side of glory, that God will reward us. I mean, how many times do we say that to people? Especially if there's no salary involved and it's a volunteer army here, you know, as things are in the church. Well, brother, sister, your reward is in heaven. Yeah, but could I have just a little bit here? And yet to understand that God will reward each one, no matter if slave or free. It says in verse 9, masters are to treat their slaves in the same way. No threats. So the onus is on those as bosses, as employers, things of that nature. Again, much like it says, don't provoke your children, you know, to anger, exasperate them. I mean, if we're that kind of person, you know, and yet then those around us in a work environment know or hear that we're Christian and say, wow, this just, I don't care what kind of new math you try to use on this, it just doesn't add up. And that's why he tells us some of these things. And yet understanding the spiritual significance is that all, master or slave, employer or employee, fathers, mothers, sons, daughters, anybody has an ultimate master, as he tells us, in heaven. As he said, and masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. The spiritual significance is all of us, slave or free, no matter what role God has put us in on this earth, have an ultimate master who is heaven, who shows no favoritism. And we shouldn't either. I love one of the quotes I found by a guy. He says, if God be God over us, we must yield him universal obedience in all things. He must not be over us in one thing and under us in another, but he must be over us in everything. You know, here's really the deal. God wants 100% of us 100% of the time. And as we look at these things and we read things and as we study and we've seen from Sunday school and Wednesday night, the pursuit of holiness, you know, and we can only fulfill these things, these commandments, these expectations that God has on us to be obedient to him, to one another, children to parents. However the role plays out, it's only possible when we are a spirit-filled Christian led and controlled by the Holy Spirit. As we just looked at Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the only way. We can try to do some of these things in the flesh and we'll succeed to a certain degree, but it'll plateau. And it won't be to God's expectations or God's glory. Only when we're spirit-filled can we fulfill these expectations. And my hope is that as individuals, as couples, families, and the family of God, that we display an attitude and actions of serving one another wholeheartedly as though we are serving Christ. When we do that, it makes a difference in our attitude and it will come out in our actions. Okay, I'm not really serving you. I'm hopefully helping you by this act of service. But this is unto the Lord. I can do this thing. For you, Lord, anything. Because of what you did for me. Amen. Let us prepare for communion.